The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Gainesville, the University of Florida, one of the biggest football weekends in memory, as the Gators, highly regarded, heavily ranked, get ready for the number one team in the country, the University of Alabama Crimson Tide. That scoreboard will be different tomorrow, I can assure you. There'll be a lot of points on there. We say hello to you. It may be a little bit different. You see some folks behind us through a glass. They're not keeping me in a cage like at a zoo. We have lightning in the area, which is the reason why they have mandated, not really a choice, you have to do it, coming inside. And we hope to get back out a little bit later in the program and enjoy the great sunshine of the Sunshine State. But right now we are locked inside as a lot of weather, whether it's part of that tropical storm system or not, it doesn't matter. We are here and we have a lot to do on what is going to be a very busy 4 hours. Let's get started here with some of the events of the weekend, and our guest list is pretty stout, including a couple of a former Heisman Trophy winner here in just a moment, as well as another previous Heisman Trophy winner a little bit later in the show. So we'll also take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. But everybody talking about football on this Friday afternoon, and most people here, if not everyone, is talking about Alabama in Florida.
You have the opportunity to beat the number one team in the country. It's going to be huge.
This is our first SEC game. We know how good of an opponent Florida is. We know how hostile the environment is going to be.
It's Bama, like, you can't look past them or anything. You just got to come out there and play your game. Knowing that we the underdogs, that bring more fire to the flame.
This is why you come to Florida, you know, so you can play in these type of games. I got that adrenaline.
Somebody let me in. The offense, they're very explosive.
There goes Richardson. See ya.
He keeps plays alive, and he's really good with his feet extending plays.
Touchdown, Alabama!
We know it's going to be a crazy atmosphere in this one.
It's going to be loud.
Having 90,000 Gator fans going crazy always gives you a little bit of an edge.
There's nothing like being in an opposing stadium where it's packed and everybody's going crazy.
I love the energy. I got that adrenaline.
We want to play with the best and compete with the best, so I feel like it's a great start for us.
Right now, it's the most important game to us because it's the next one.
It's time to bring the A game. I got that adrenaline. Somebody let me in.
A lot of other big games as well, and perhaps the most eagerly anticipated other than Alabama and Florida is the one in State College, Pennsylvania. We talked to Joe Paterno's son, Jay, the other day. Auburn heading in that direction. Many Auburn fans have made the pilgrimage, something Auburn fans don't get a chance to do very often, go to a Big Ten road site. Auburn taking on Penn State.
We're rolling.
Well, there's a lot at stake for this game. This will set the kind of the standard for the rest of the season.
It's a nationally televised game, prime time, but it's the whiteout.
This is what you play the game for. You have opportunities like this to play in an environment like we're about to play in.
So electric. We got the best fans in the country, 107K.
It's going to be just a battle. At the end of the day, and I just feel like Big Ten versus SEC is always a good matchup.
The message that's going to be sent if we go up there and get a win, I really believe it's going to set the tone for the season and let everybody know that Auburn's back and that we're ready to compete.
And we have a big show on tap, as we mentioned. We are live in Gainesville on the campus of the University of Florida. Tim Tebow will join us in a few minutes. That might draw a crowd on campus. Nobody more famous than Tim. Holly Rowe will join us from State College. Molly McGrath, she's covering South Carolina and Georgia. Roman Harper from SEC Nation will be with us in about an hour and change. Scott Strickland, he's the athletic director here. He brought in Dan Mullen. They used to work together at Mississippi State. Jordan Rogers, he'll be on a couple of games this weekend. Laura Rutledge, who also went to school here, the host of SEC Nation. Marty Smith, Steve Spurrier will be here at 6 p.m. You can't come to Gainesville without talking to him. And one of his greatest players, Chris Doering, will join us at the bottom of the final hour to get us ready for the weekend. We have a lot of nice folks behind us. I wish we could be outside. We hope to get out there in a few minutes once this storm passes. I don't know if this is the Alabama team arriving or the Florida defense letting its feelings be known. But we're going to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We begin in Cincinnati, and Lee starts it off. Hey, Lee.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
And sure.
I'm just calling to tell you that I was wrong. I called yesterday because I mentioned that Legend had called in at the end of the show thinking that he was saying he was scared. And I was going to have more fodder today, but I have to tell you, I don't mind admitting when I'm wrong. Legend is a stand-up guy. He was absolutely right. I said that I thought that Florida was going to keep it close. He said you can't be a real fan if you do that. He's right. He talked about how he thought that Florida used to be great under Spurrier, but now they've kind of gone downhill. You know? So I just wanted to call and say I was wrong about Legend. I needed to apologize on air to him because he is a stand-up guy as much as it pains me to say it.
Good deal. Appreciate the call. Zach is up next here in Gainesville. Zach, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Zach, you there? Okay. Let me, got the name wrong. How about Matt? I know Matt will be there in San Antonio. What do you got, Matt?
Hey, what's up, Mr. Buffon? How you doing, my brother? Look, I wanted to apologize about not calling the show yesterday. I was just too checked out of my niece yesterday to the hospital.
What was that again, Matt? And,
my niece got admitted to the hospital.
You took your niece to the hospital?
No, my niece got admitted to the hospital. That's what I said.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Hope it goes well.
Okay, well, I want to talk about the Mississippi and Texas A&M versus New Mexico game. Paul, what I want to see out of this game, A&M being better offensively and just blowing New Mexico out of the water, same as Arkansas, same as Mississippi State. If we get better in these three games, people will take it seriously again. And I wanted your thoughts on that, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I just think right now Texas A&M is in a lot of turmoil, and this is just an opportunity to try to clean a few things up. But I don't think we're going to learn too much. Matt, thanks for the call. We don't want to keep him waiting. Tim Tebow is about to join us, the Heisman, former Heisman Trophy winner from the University of Florida. We will talk to him when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Our gridiron guest brought to you by Johnsonville, and who else could it be than Tim Tebow, who you don't really need to introduce Tim on this campus. Tim, great to have you with us. Been with you many, many times here. It's always special just for us watching you. Oh. I can't imagine what it's like for you to come back here.
It's always special to come back here. It's awesome to see all these students and everybody. You got to kind of like the signs, too. It's so near and dear to my heart. I mean, let's be honest. This was it's where my parents met. I had two other siblings go here. It was my grandfather's dream to see Florida win an SEC championship. And so, you know, to me, it's more than just a school. It's kind of part of family.
I remember being in Alabama when you made the commitment to Florida, and I kept trying to argue with people, even though I learned later that it was really a close call. I said, the Tebows have a gator on their mailbox. Why would he be going to Alabama?
Honestly, that was very unique because the coaching staff was different at Florida.
Right.
And then they got rid of them and brought in this guy named Urban Meyer. And then he started to recruit me. But up until really the end, it was Alabama number one, and everybody else was way behind him. And even talking with Dabo and Clemson, Jimbo at LSU, and Pete Carroll at USC, and those were kind of the top schools. And then this guy named Urban Meyer, he's a pretty good recruiter, and so he started to sway me at the end. But even at the end, it was still a hard decision. We're at literally the last second, I picked Florida.
And this may be obvious, it may not be, but because Alabama was not very good at the time. I mean, they had a big year in, I think, 2005.
Yes.
Yeah, they beat Florida. But what was it about Alabama that was so interesting to you?
Passion, tradition, culture, really good people. And anybody that knows me knows how passionate I am about the game, how much I love it, how much I love the culture, all of it. And Alabama, it is a special place, you know. It's you feel that when you're there. Obviously, you see what they've done, you know. And part of that is because of how much they care about it, their passion for it. And so it's a special place. But I'm happy with the decision I made.
Yeah, no, it turned out pretty well. But not to belabor the point, but I do that, so I will. You told me, and this is many, many years ago, and I'm trying to remember the story, so I'll ask you instead of trying to remember it since it was your story. But you said when you made the decision, you called Alabama, and then you still weren't sure. You
I
were
wasn't.
Really...
I did. I called Coach Shula, and I said, Coach, I'm going to go to Alabama. And he said, Timmy, it's okay. I love you just as much now as if you came to Alabama. You're going to have a great career, and hopefully I'll coach you one day. And I hang up the phone. I look at my dad, and I was like, that's a coach I'm supposed to play for. And I was like, no, I'm going to go to Florida. And it was such a hard decision. Plus, you know me, I get so close with people. I get very attached. And I was attached to Coach Shula and a lot of the people at Alabama. And so that made it extremely difficult.
Well, I told this story one day, and a guy called in, and he said, Tim, this is funny. He said, Tim Tebow blowing off Alabama to go to Florida was probably the best thing that ever happened to Alabama. And I said, what do you mean? He was part of two national championships at Florida. He said, well, yes, but if he had done that at Alabama, we would have never gotten Nick Saban.
I feel like the Alabama faithful should be pretty happy with everything they've got in the last 13, 14 years. They're doing just fine.
But it's a funny moment in time, though, because it would have changed history short term. Mike Shula would have remained there, and maybe he would have won six national championships. But I've always found it to be one of those amazing milestones in history that if this had happened,
that really is a pretty interesting, you know, turning point for so many different things. But I think that's true for so many places around the country. If a right NFL job doesn't open, does Pete Carroll ever leave USC?
Exactly.
You know, and just there's so many things like that I think when you really look at it and examine in college football, it's fascinating to really see the, you know, underlying factors of why certain things happen.
Talking to Tim let's talk about this weekend, because 2 weeks ago you were sitting around telling us at a meeting about Anthony Richardson, and, you know, a lot of us were going, oh, okay, right, sure.
He doesn't believe me. He doesn't believe me.
And 2 weeks later, it's a national debate about what Dan Mullen should do. He's obviously going to start Emory tomorrow. And take us through what you have seen of Anthony Richardson and really what is he capable of once
well,
he gets in there?
I got to meet Anthony. Honestly, he was only on campus for a couple of days. He enrolled early, and so I'm there in the indoor, and we're hanging out, and I see him work out and throw and everything, and it wasn't just that. That was special. You look at that, and you say, how is this kid a four-star? Like, who is evaluating that, and how did he only have three big schools offered him, Florida, Georgia, and Michigan. The next top offer was like UCF, and you just think like, what is everybody watching? And yes, his team wasn't really good at Eastside here in Gainesville, and I think they won two games his senior year. But, I mean, when you look at him, you see special. But then where I kind of felt a little bit more for this kid was when you start to talk to him, when you start to hear about, you know, hey, man, will you tell me about what are the good things you felt like you did here when you started out, and what are the other things? And I thought, what a good question. Well, you know, I want to tell that to you. I want to, you know, share with you. I want to help you. And I think for Anthony is the physical attributes, check. Then you have the want to, check. And then the mentality, right, of handling all of this, I think we've seen what he can do with that. I think it's a check. I think all those things add up to something pretty special.
So in that role, and for those who may have missed Tim's career, Tim started off in I wouldn't call it an identical role, but it was similar where you started to come in on series and special situations. Help us understand where Dan Mullen is right now, because he's not only your friend, but he was your coach. Yeah. So you know his mindset.
Yeah, I think Dan is really good at handling, you know, quarterbacks and handling their personalities and their confidence, and that's really important. You know, a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of times we can be fragile in certain ways, you know, and I think he's doing a great job of encouraging Emory and also bringing Anthony along, and there's a balance there, right? You got two guys that can help the team. You got Emory, who at times can look incredible from the pocket and make some great throws. And then, you know, at times, you know, throw it to the other team a little bit too much. But you really look at that and you say, why? Every single one of those has been a drop eight zone coverage he's thrown into. So he might be trying to, you know, wait a little bit, have it perfect. But, man, when it's man coverage, he is slinging it and playing well. And then you have Anthony, who's such a gifted player, but he's still – you know, he's still learning about college football. He's only played two games and hasn't had many attempts, and so he's growing. And so it's so important for Florida football for both of those guys to be able to add what they do in their differences to make this team better.
At that point in your career, Tim, I mean, you're talented, but what don't you know that you have to learn to become what you ended up?
You don't know what you don't know.
Okay.
You don't know what it's like fourth and one at Tennessee with the game on the line, right? You don't know what that feeling's like. You don't know. You think you do. You've gone in practices, and you might have done well in practice, right? But it's different. You've never been in those situations. Just because you've never been there doesn't mean you can't handle it.
Right.
But it does mean that it helps when you have that experience. It helps when you go through things. It helps when you see my first time seeing blitz zero, right? Your first time making a check. Your first time when you literally can't even hear yourself think in Tennessee, to be able to adjust to those moments. And so much of quarterback play, especially elite quarterback play, happens under extreme pressure. Right? Because it's a big moment of a big game, and it's on you. It's on you to get that check. It's on you to make that throw. It's on you to make that run. It's on you to get it done. Right? The buck stops with you. And we've seen for many years the difference is how do certain guys handle that pressure that makes them successful in those moments versus others that they have the talent. They have the want to. They have all of the attributes, but something doesn't necessarily click. Right? And I think that's one of the things when you look back at last year and Mac Jones, everything about him clicked in those moments. You know, yes, he had a great season, but he was at his best in those biggest moments, right? And that is something that's really hard to coach, but when you have it, it's special.
I'm fascinated by those moments because you hear athletes talk about them, but, you know, most of us have no earthly idea what it feels like. That first big moment that you had to deliver, I mean, what's how are you, I mean, you're in, how are you internalizing? How are you dealing with it? How do you operate?
I'll tell you, for me, the first one that I can think of is third game of the season. We go to Tennessee. It's four, last drive of the game. It's fourth and one. I think we're on our own 20-something, maybe 29-yard line, something like that. And game's on the line. If we don't get it against a great defense with Gerard Mayo as middle linebacker and all of these guys, and 100 and whatever thousand people are screaming, going crazy, my first time in that environment, plus there's added pressure against one of our biggest rivals of all time that I've been, you know, grew up watching against. Sure. And so all of this coming together in that moment, if you don't get 3 feet, you lose, and it's on me, you know? And how do you handle that? You know, how do you that was the biggest moment for me, or the first big moment for me, where it's, okay, I literally run into the huddle, and all the guys are leaning in, and I'm yelling at the top of my lungs. It's as far as from me to you, and you can barely hear me, and I'm yelling at the top of my lungs, right? It's the first time you've gone through that. And then you go up there to the line of scrimmage, and I have to set up the motion. I have to, you know, do everything. And then it's, okay, this first guy I hit, I'm going to have to inflict as much damage as I can so I can get these, you know, 3 feet. And even though you think, oh, it's just a little 97 Q power, right? But there's so much more in that moment. And then it's after that you've experienced it. But then it's do I shy away from that next time, or do I embrace it? And I think for me, one thing I loved is in those moments, I wanted the next one. And I wanted the next one. I fell in love with those, you know, with those moments in the pressure pack games. And that was something that I really tried to embrace.
So when it was successful, and obviously I remember that it was, how does it affect you? Because you still, the game's not over.
Yeah,
and
no.
And you'll be back in. How do you keep yourself to, I mean, you're an emotional guy anyway.
Very.
How do you keep yourself in a range where you just don't go too extreme?
I think you have to know the time and the place and the moment. And sometimes it is let it go. Be a animal. Be emotional. And because certain times that can rally the people around you. And at certain times, you know, in this situation, it needs to be the calm before the storm. And I think part of that is it goes with wisdom and discernment of learning the situations of playing the game. Because sometimes, you know, you got to rally the guys. You got to rally yourself, right? You know, certain games where we played where maybe we didn't score the first two drives. And I knew we got to change the momentum, right? Because right now it is a snowball for the other team. Mm-hmm. And we got to stop it. And we got to get that going for us, because so much of sports, specifically football, is about momentum and getting it going on your side, right? And the biggest shot for Florida tomorrow is if they can get the momentum on their side, the crowd behind them, playing with confidence. We see this all the time, especially in college football. Teams that should not win certain games find ways to upset people. And you think, how did that happen? There's no way when you look at the talent that should happen. It happened with momentum. And then what happens to the other team is they play tight. They play scared. They play hesitant. And I think so many times when teams have played Bama, that's been the way they started. They already lost because they knew we are playing that team, you know?
I don't know what's reacting to.
They're booing somebody.
We could talk about this forever. We need to talk more about this in the future. Thanks so much for coming
by. Awesome, of course.
This was fantastic.
Thank you.
Tim Tebow joining us at the University of Florida. We will be right back. We'll head up to State College in a few minutes. More after
the Whiteout.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. We are live in Gainesville, campus of the University of Florida. There are a lot of big games tomorrow, but there are two monster games. The one here between Bama and Florida, and the one in State College when Auburn travels to Penn State, and that's where Holly Rowe joins us. Holly, thank you for the time. Great to see you, and can't wait to hear about your travels up there and what you expect to see and witness tomorrow night.
It's going to be really exciting, and I'll tell you one thing. The Auburn fans have showed up. There were complete Auburn fans on my flight here. people coming from Los Angeles, New York, Washington, D.C. The Auburn faithful have traveled really well up here, Paul, and I think they're really excited about this game. The team is going to land here about 4 o'clock any second now, and people from Auburn are very fired up for this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, these are it's so rare to get a game like this, Holly, and I know that that adds to the eagerness and the anticipation, but in terms of where you are, it's quiet right now, 27, 28 hours from now, that is going to be a sight to behold. And I'm curious, you know, what you are going to anticipate and expect. I'm not sure if you may you've covered a whiteout before. I've seen them, and they just look unbelievable on television.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I think the whiteout is probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, spectacle in all of college football, because it's not just that they're wearing white or that, you know, the stadium is all unified. It's loud. It is so loud here. It's over 106,000 people, and they're cheering in unison. They've got the pom-poms going in unison. It's organized. It just feels so special, and it's definitely one of those bucket list opportunities for people. But I will tell you this, Auburn has been preparing for the noise. I went to practice at Auburn on Wednesday afternoon, and it was deafening, Paul. They had the music cranked up. They had crowd noise and music going simultaneously. It got up to 120 decibels at practice in Auburn on Wednesday, and so they're ready for the noise. They practice having to communicate with each other. Bo Nix feels very confident that he can communicate well, and so I can't wait to see how they respond to this great atmosphere. But it's one of the greatest scenes in all of sports, and James Franklin said something interesting today. He said, you know, one of the reasons we schedule this game is people from the SEC, they can come up here and they'll go home and be like, man, that was something really special. You know, they're going to understand that the Big Ten plays some great football and has some great audiences and fans as well.
Holly, I'm interested in what else you learned other than not being able to hear at the Auburn practice. What's your takeaway from what you picked up on your trip down there?
Well, I got a chance to spend a lot of time with Bo Nix. He and I got to visit for quite some time. And this is a calmer, more mature. This young man has been through a lot. He's on his fourth offensive system, his fourth offensive coordinator. You think about how Bo Nix at Auburn has been thrown into the fire. You know, they had an offensive line that really struggled at times under his young career, and he was running for his life. And I just see a more calm, cool, and collected Bo Nix. Can he maintain that demeanor during the game? And, you know, we talked about it, Paul. There's this big narrative that, oh, yeah, he's really great at home, but he hasn't played well on the road. And we actually talked about that. And he said, well, I understand that's out there, but think about the road games I've played in. I mean, I'm playing in Death Valley against LSU, and they're the number one team in the country. I'm playing Alabama. They're the number two team in the country. You know, the places he's played on the road have a little something to do with that and why he struggled, because it's been some of the most difficult teams that they've had to match up against. So I'm curious to see how Bo Nix has matured and how he comes out here on Saturday.
Holly, let's talk about the other side, because, you know, we saw Penn State at Wisconsin, and it was a tough game to watch unless you're an old-fashioned defensive stalwart. But a lot of people inside our beltway are dubious of Penn State's ability to put points on the board. What do you hear from the coaches and your own view of what Penn State has right now?
Well, what Penn State has is defense, and even though that's not sexy and smart, Sean Clifford, their quarterback for Penn State, told us a really cool story. He said, we go into the locker room at halftime at Wisconsin, and it's 0-0, and the defense is playing their you-know-what's off, and he's like, they're telling us, like, keep going, we've got you, and that defense gave the offense some time to try to figure things out. So I think what Penn State has is they can rely on their defense. They have terrific special teams. But right now, James Franklin said the thing that they're doing on offense is they're not turning the ball over, they're creating turnovers, and then they're limiting explosive plays while creating some explosive plays of their own. So Jahan Dotson, if you haven't heard his name, you guys, he is a really fast, dynamic player. This is an NFL type of talent, and he ran a 4.3 40 this spring. He's going to be a really good downfield threat for the Penn State Nittany Lions. And listen, they haven't got it rolling quite yet, but I'll be curious to see if they can't put some pieces together because they do have some explosive playmakers.
Holly, finally, you talked about the noise and the atmosphere, and it is deafening in a place like this, and nobody can hear anyone else. You know where I'm going. You're on the sidelines. You have to be in communication with the group in the booth and your producers and directors. How do you hear?
Yeah, it's a challenge. I've been here before where it's so loud, Paul. Like, you feel the noise in the bones of your chest, like in your sternum. You're like, my bones are vibrating. It's that loud right now. So I wear these double earpieces like this so that it can help block out some of the crowd noise. It is a challenge. I mean, there are times that you don't know what's going on. You can't communicate. But listen, I've been in stadiums that get loud and get crazy. It's just how many people are here and how orchestrated this crowd is. I think it's going to be a dynamic, electric atmosphere. And I think that both teams, they are really good. 2-0, both teams, young quarterbacks who've been through a lot. Sean Clifford's been through four offensive coordinators. Bo Nix, he's been through four offensive coordinators. Both of these young men with a lot to prove, and that's going to be kind of the tail of the game in my mind. Who plays mistake-free quarterback position, who doesn't turn the ball over, and then who can create on some explosive plays downfield.
Holly Rowe, live in State College, Pennsylvania. What an atmosphere and what a broadcast that will be tomorrow night on ABC. Many, many thanks, Holly. We'll be watching.
My pleasure. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Holly Rowe making time for us from Penn State. We are live here at the University of Florida. And many, many guests, including the former Heisman. We just had one former Heisman winner. We have another one in about 2 hours, the athletic director here at UF. We are live from the campus. We're inside right now because of some weather, but we continue to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are live in Gainesville. It's great to be here. Tim Tebow was with us a minute ago. You heard Holly Rowe. We have other guests dropping by, including the HBC later in the program, the athletic director here, and we'll go around the SEC as well with a number of guests. Let's check out who is it? Zach is in Gainesville. Zach, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Hey, good. Hey, it's a great weekend in Gainesville. It's a little rainy, but it's Gainesville. We really don't care. But I think the Gators are going to beat Alabama, Paul, but I think this is going to be more versus a Florida versus Georgia game, because what this game all about is about is Dan Mullen beating Nick Saban before Kirby Smart does, you know?
Well, that would be pretty significant, Zach. Hey, thanks, Zach. Michael is up next. Michael is in Gainesville as well. Michael?
Hey, Paul. I'm a huge fan of the show. I'm actually right over your right shoulder if you turn around. Some nice sneakers you got on there. But so I think one matchup in tomorrow's game that isn't really being talked about enough is Florida's D-line versus, you know, Bama's relatively inexperienced offensive line. I don't know if you can talk to that a little bit. I know we got big guys in there like Zach Carter, like Chris Bogle, Jervon Dexter. And they have three brand-new offensive linemen, never played an SEC game before. Same as Bryce Young. You know, he's only 6 foot, 194. I mean, when you got a big guy like Big Dez in his face all day and 90,000 fans screaming at you, I think that'll definitely play a factor. I watched your show yesterday, and you said this will not be where Bama trips up. I tend to disagree, so can you maybe speak on that to some extent?
Well, Michael, I will say this, and I appreciate your fortitude for hanging in there as long as you have to get on the show. I do think if you want to find fault with Bryce Young, and I'm not in that camp, but some are, that he is slight, and at some point will that play a factor? But I think conversely, the other side of the fence is going to be a real problem for Florida because that defensive line from Alabama is dangerous. Thanks for the call. Marshall is in South Carolina. Marshall, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great.
Hey, I just got a bone to pick with these dog fans right now. I mean, I get it. You know, we're probably not going to win the game, but, I mean, I hear some of these clowns saying they're going to throw up 50 points on RD. They're crazy.
Well, I think a real problem right now is what's going on with Georgia's offense. What kind of identity do they have? And they may be down to their third-string quarterback. We really don't know yet. And we're going there in a few minutes. So ultimately, is Georgia ever going to find an identity on offense? And I think they need to, because South Carolina does have an underrated defensive front, which I think a lot of you have been trying to convince me of, and I'm starting to come around on that part of the game.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about Jordan Davis. I haven't heard anything about J.J. Anunoby or Jabari Ellis or Jordan Burch or Tonka Hemingway. Them boys going to eat Saturday, Paul.
Well, listen, thanks, Marshall. Appreciate it. Can't wait for that game. Matt is up next in South Carolina. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great.
So, Paul, I got a question. These Georgia fans, they're acting like they're out. Like, have they? They're acting like they never lost to an unranked team before. They're not Alabama. They're not up there with the big boys yet. They can be. They think as much as they want if they do that, but just no. We are South Carolina Gamecocks, the only team from South Carolina in the SEC or ACC undefeated this year. Is that right?
Well, the great part about this game is you have the same shot that Clemson had. So, if you can still make that claim Saturday night, you'll be in great shape.
I think we have the same kicker, if I'm not mistaken, that hit the game winner against him last time, and not the one with the goggles, the questionable one there. That's not right.
Rodriguez, yeah. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Kenny is up next. Kenny is calling from the Sunshine State down here in Florida.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. This is Kenny. I'm a first-time caller.
Wonderful.
Love your
thank
show.
You.
You mind if I call
you?
You mind if I call you Paul?
I wish everyone would, frankly.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Feinbaum. I know the Gators host Bama and everybody thinks the Tide are going to create a nightmare in the swamp, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be a dream come true for Florida, because I had a dream last night, and it just seemed so real. This is just a quick story. I dreamt I was at a Texas Hold'em poker tournament. And I was watching this action at the championship table, and it was fantastic. Sitting at that table were Sonny Bono, Sonny Corleone, Sonny Liston, Sonny Jurgensen, and Sonny this afternoon with increasing chances of showers this evening. They all had a full house, aces and eights. Suddenly, Sonny Jurgensen yells, "I ain't dead." Justin A. Bogota, the old guy who played Fish on Brownie Miller, he came slowly rolling into the room on a skateboard, wearing nothing but a pair of tight pink pedal pushers, yelling, "Give me your sevens." Well, that was enough for me. I hightailed out the door, which was being guarded by a giraffe who said, "Hey, where are you going, Kenny? The high balls are on me." So don't forget to wear your Gator chop sauce this Sundays, because the Gators will chomp in the swamp, baby. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks for the call. Red Dog is up next.
Hey, Paul, remember 2 years ago I guaranteed a victory over South Carolina?
I most certainly do remember that. I was sitting in Athens, Georgia when you did.
Let me give a message to all the South Carolina fans. You have no tradition. You haven't won in God knows how long. You have absolutely no shot at beating us tomorrow night. No shot. We can line up a cheerleader at quarterback and it doesn't matter. Our backup quarterback had 5 touchdowns last week. So stop dreaming. Muschamp will get revenge. We will win 45-3. Go Dawgs.
And with that, the first hour of our program has come to an end. Thank you for calling, Red Dog. We are going to take a break. We have a lot of guests remaining, many great ones. We'll continue to zip around the country. We will head to Athens as well. More of your phone calls right after that.